Blog Talk Radio.
Let me address one thing, you know what I'm saying? All these old New York motherfuckers that be like hating on new shit and all that shit, and like, oh, like they got skinny jeans on, they gay and all that shit. Like, come on, dog. You was popping X pills in the tunnel in 98, running your head through your man braids and all that. Let's keep it real. A lot of y'all motherfuckers from 97 to 2001 was experimenting with y'all sexuality. And y'all talking about us. And y'all want to rule. Y'all.
Rest in peace, ASAP Yams. You haven't heard my voice in a minute? But I'm back. Your man, I popped off with the firing squad. I am back. I have returned. I have been resurrected. And I'm turned up. My man, the evil shogun. The Prime Minister of Hatred.
I like that.
Yeah, he wishes your spicy beef patty is too spicy. Just Jay.
What up, Byron Squad? What's going on? I popped off. Good to hear your voice, my brother. I like that Prime
Thank
Minister
you, bro.
Of Hate, man. I'm feeling
yeah.
that.
Yeah, you should update your profile on Twitter, even though people can't follow you.
Absolutely. Prime Minister Hate, I love it. That's awesome.
Yeah, man. You can take that, too.
Apropos.
So let's discuss, let's get to it. Man, J. Cole, Kendrick Lamar. Two albums I have yet to hear and could care less about, but Just Jay has his cape on tight. Your thoughts so far, sir?
Wow, my thoughts. Yeah, man. I mean, Kendrick Lamar, like we said last week, weren't here. Me and OD basically kind of agreed on the album not being classic. The J. Cole album is cool. Drake album is cool. I think these dudes are kind of I don't know if this is, you know, who's the best rapper alive.
And you gotta add Drake on that.
Right. I don't know. I don't know who if this trio, if this triumvirate can match trios of the past. So when we look at rap's history, you can go Biggie, Jay, or Nas, right? You can do Kool G Rap, Big Daddy Kane, Rakim. You can have KRS-One, Slick Rick, BDK. Who's the best? I don't know. Trio rises to that occasion, rises to that challenge. They might get there. I'm not saying that they won't get there, but I don't know if they're there currently. As far as rhymes go, I'd have to say the weak link in this current trio might be J. Cole. He might be the weakest link. I don't know if he's as technically gifted a writer as Drake or Kendrick Lamar. I know one thing, his persona to me is kind of boring. Kendrick, Drake, lyrically, I think they both surpass J. Cole. But I think Kendrick does it in a way that, for me, detracts from what he's trying to say with all the type of voices and the effects that he's giving to his lyricism. I think takes away from the actual lyricism. The make-believe personas and all of that stuff. So it'll be interesting to see going forward how those three shape out. But the one thing I do want to say is that people who argue that Kendrick Lamar is the best shouldn't really make that argument. When you proclaim Kendrick is the best, that's saying that there is no one better than him currently. There's a whole host of hip-hop fans who would disagree with that statement, that Kendrick Lamar is the best. And they're not talking about past, they're talking about his current contemporaries. So if you have an argument as to who is the best going on and raging within hip-hop circles, don't write screeds, don't come out and be like, oh, this guy, hands down, everyone says he's the best. That's just not true. There's been moments in hip-hop history that's happened. This isn't one of them. No one has crowned Kendrick Lamar universally the greatest rapper alive. That's not facts. A lot of people like him. A lot of people put capes on for him. A lot of people say he is the best. But he is not universally recognized as the greatest rapper living today. So we need to dead that whole argument. There's an argument that rages that says, who is the best? No one who's claiming Kendrick is the best universally is telling the truth. And I know you OD don't listen to any of them, but that's where I stand. OD, what up, bro?
Nothing much, man. Cost of living is up, chance of living is down.
All right, there you go.
Now, when you say a J. Cole, I think he's clearly the weakest link among them. Because the other two can bring you into their world. They have a higher emotional intelligence, their ability to bring you into what they're trying to say operates on a higher level than J. Cole. To me, his slacker personality, you know who J. Cole is? J. Cole is the weed-smoking dude you went to school with a hoodie and basketball shorts that bangs chicken heads and smokes weed. Occasionally, he'll have moments of clarity where he'll, you know, be on some fudge from higher learning stuff. But as a whole, he's just a guy and not a particularly compelling guy. Well, you have somebody like Drake who could talk about his mom's having cancer or rock a party or talk about how he trying to be on the come up. he telling this girl, yo, this is me on this album. So that's cool. Put on some Ludacris. You know what I'm saying? He can make you feel what he's talking about, and he can talk about a wider range of things on the micro level. He can talk about internal monologues and things that make you as a man tick, but from a vulnerable aspect, whereas a lot of rappers are super Negro, you know? Kendrick obviously has the ability to address some of these macro issues and talk about, you know, blackness. I don't know if he's as sophisticated as he could be, but he's a young guy. He's got time. But I think both of those guys operate on a higher level than a J. Cole. I don't really like the Kendrick-Drake comparison because I don't think they operate on the same levels. You know, the Jay Nas argument is really the Rakim Cain argument. You know, do you like poetry or do you like, you know, the flashy punchline thing? But these two dudes are doing something entirely different. Kendrick is hitting people with spoken word elements, while Drake is doing singing elements, rhyming elements. So they're not as linear as, you know, some of those previous conversations we've been having. So I don't think they belong on a comparison level. But if you're going to say who's the top rapper, you've got to go with Drake because he produces. In the end, when you start talking about hits, if your mama was tied up in that Brooklyn basement and you had to have a hit to get her free, who you going to go with? All right, then. You know. You going to bet on Kendrick Lamar, who could come out with some I Love Myself shit? Or you could come out with Drake, who got a top song on the radio that ain't even connected to no album. Think about that for a second. Now, how about now, stop joining this playing on all these radio stations? It's not on this album. It ain't connected to no album. It ain't even on iTunes. It ain't even on Spotify. It's connected to nothing. So his throwaway songs are compelling enough to run radio. So if you're going to say that somebody's a top rapper, it's got to be him. Jay-Z gave away 1 million albums the same year he dropped his last album, you know, to join with him on the cover. Yesterday was the same or something like that. And Drake still outsold him. Think about that for a second. A guy who says he's the king had 1 million record head start and still couldn't outsell Drake. So if you're going to say is somebody the top dog, it's clearly Drake. And that's even when you assign the fact that nobody wants to stand with him. Nobody wants to take his side. I think that's an extraordinary accomplishment. When you look at Kendrick Lamar, he got a machine behind him, right? He got Mike Conception behind him, so he got muscle behind him. He got Interscope behind him. He got Drake co-signing. And he's got everybody fooled into thinking that TDE is some kind of indie label. So he's getting indie love with mainstream push and with streets next to him. So that's kind of like stacking the deck in your favor. Now, he's a talented guy. But if I had to put my money on the table for one song or one moment, I'm going with Drake. And I don't know if that answers the question about who's the best, but that's how I look at him.
Other than Drake, J. Cole and Kendrick do not impress me at all. Thanks.
So, who impresses you currently?
Drake. Drake impresses me. That's really it. J. Cole, I give him props for bringing balance.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's, I give him props. Yeah, I give him props for what he's doing. It's noted. It's a notable.
Yeah, but you can't ride with him. You can't.
Yeah, I'm not riding with him. Kendrick, I give him props for bringing balance. But if you think, am I really gonna be pumping I Love Myself and
no,
my mouth?
No, not at all.
And why does, when he freestyle, why does he close his eyes and, like, rub his forehead? What's that about?
I guess he's trying to make it appear that he's coming from some kind of primal place or some extra higher level place. But,
higher level.
In the end, it's just histrionic,
Yeah, I'm unimpressed, but I applaud them from bringing balance and, getting out of the trap. But am I impressed? No. Do I want to listen to their albums? No. Do I want to, hear King Kunta? No.
I guess Homeboy Sandman is my guy, man. That dude is just ultra nice, man. But, ain't nobody ever talking to him, so it don't really matter. I mean, if you're going to say mainstream, then those three really are kind of about it. I mean, who are you going to ride with? Wale?
Right.
Ross.
Ross.
Ross is stuck in that four Mike lane. He's plateaued. So I like it.
Not even four Mike.
I think those
last two albums have been three.
Yeah, absolutely. He's not four Mike.
He hasn't been four since God Forgives and I Don't.
Yeah.
Word.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
And those three have clearly surpassed Ross.
I wouldn't say J. Cole has. But again,
J. Cole sold 350 first week, no promo. He's clearly surpassed Ross. No radio. He surpassed Ross. Yeah.
Because Jay has access to that sound scan.
Yeah. I mean, like, are you talking music or are you talking, like, range? You know what I'm saying? Like,
range.
Like, I don't like J. Cole better than I like Rick Ross. So
I'm not saying that you do, but I'm just saying that in the climate that we are in right now, he surpassed Rick Ross. As far as being a artist that people look for, he surpassed Rick Ross. No one is sitting here waiting for the next Rick Ross album.
No.
A lot of people are sitting there waiting for the next Joe Cole album. Whether we're one of those persons or not, that's what I'm saying. He surpassed.
I'll give you it on that level.
Yeah, those three have. Currently, those three.
Wait a minute. This guy, I actually dislike the persona that he puts out. But Lupe Fiasco, that tattoo on Youth, man, that dude is rhyming his butt off, man.
Haven't heard it.
Yeah, I think you should. You know how I feel about the dude.
Right.
If I'm saying to you, listen to the album. Listen to it. Tell me what you say. If you listen to it and you don't feel nothing from it, I take that on the chin. But you know, more bars than Oswego, man.
But would you say Lupe is even on? He's been surpassed by those three as well.
In terms of what?
In terms of.
Now you got to remember, he got a lot of fans on a different level. He's got a move. You ever wonder how some people got a whole legion of fans, and you're like, where did that come from? A lot of those guys who are not hood, but don't aspire to be alternative,
right?
Really dig his music, man. A lot of smart people really dig his music, and they buying his record.
Okay.
So, I mean, is he a mainstream guy? I don't know. He's one of those guys who languish between mainstream and artsy. So I don't know. But his album was fire, man. Just rhymes upon rhymes upon rhymes. So I'd encourage you to check it out. And you know I'm not a fan of his. You know I'm not a fan of the energy he puts out. But I had to tip my hat to him. So, such is life.
I'll pass. But moving forward, the Marvin Gaye estate proved successful in their legal action taken against the New Black, Pharrell Williams, and the Old Black, Robin Thicke. Is this the end of music? Just Jay?
No, absolutely. The amount of press that's been written about
this is about silly. How
this is going to destroy creatives and creativity, and it's going to stifle new music because everybody takes the same beats and does everything with it. I think it's a tremendous amount of bullshit. There is no way this is the end. This is the doomsday of music being created. No. People have sampled for many, many years. The difference being, people have acknowledged those samples. The reason that this happened was because Pharrell, New Black Williams, and Robin Thicke decided that they would pretend and try to convince the world that what was obviously taken directly from Marvin Gaye was not what everyone was hearing. that was their ego and hubris at work.
Hubris. Pure hubris.
That is the reason this entire thing happened. So is this the death of the music industry? Is this going to stop people from being able to create new music? Absolutely not. No, you can make a new beat. You could have a different chorus. You could have a different feel from what has come before. It doesn't have to follow the past. You can forge a new way forward. And if you happen to take from the past, then do like Sam Smith. Do like Sam Smith did when Tom Petty said, "This is my song." He didn't go to court. He paid that man.
Yeah.
Said, "Here you go, sir. It's an honor that you even recognize what I'm trying to do with your music." But that's not what Pharrell and that's not what Robin Thicke did. They tried to lie to people and convince his family, to convince the family of Marvin Gaye that what they were hearing of their father, of their husband, was not true.
And
take
then,
all the money.
To take it further, they under the same publishing house. They under the same publishing house. So, see, it's not even a matter of did you recognize it. It's also, you represent my interests, and you disregarded my legacy, my father's legacy, because you had a hit on your head. Well, all you had to do was clear the sample. You don't even have to call anybody. It's in the same house. But you're so greedy that you just flat out stole it. Don't tell me you didn't know that that was in the same song. That's not like that's not even a sample. That's the beat.
The chorus,
you know?
The beat, everything about Blurred Lines.
And I tell you what, Love After War is after the dance, and they need to come after that, too.
Exactly.
Rappers have been having a clear sample since Bismarck and Gilbert O'Sullivan. So
exactly.
If we got a clear sample, you got to clear them, too.
Like, well, what
is, this the end? No, no way. Clear the sample.
Eric Sermon got a sample cleared from Marvin Gaye's family for a couple of hundred.
Is it for music? Exactly.
Yeah.
And he had his voice on
$1,000. He did it, and he had Marvin Gaye's voice on the album. So don't tell me that this is something that can't be done.
Exactly, they'll work with you, but you don't want to look at Jay-Z. Just had to give away 85% of his publishing to some Scottish guy from an obscure album that they sampled, and he actually was going to take it to court. Like, you know what it is, man. Clear the sample, Jay-Z, man. And so instead of just giving up half the publishing, which you probably would, it would have been very cheap. Now you got to give up 85%.
And that's
so these people's greed was changing the game. It's not that they can't get these samples or that these people are unwilling to negotiate. It's that these people are greedy and they steal. And so when you steal, there's treble damages involved. Now, I have to sue you for my loss, and I have to sue you for damages, and then there's a punitive aspect of the case. So you can't just go, had you just, what they say, an ounce of prevention is a pound of cure. So had you just gotten the sample cleared instead of trying to be cute, you know, you could have avoided that. And Jay-Z is still going to take it to the court until they lost.
You know what? What you said is so, you know, needed. Rap music has been clearing samples for decades.
For 30 years.
If you love hip-hop, most of the music that you love was sampled from something else. Rappers have had to get those clearances for years. And the fear of not clearing a sample has left many, many really dope songs on the scrapping room floor. So I can't understand why now singers, not only sampling music, They're lifting entire songs and putting different words and saying, well, no, this is not really the same song. You have to listen to the words and you have to listen to the structure of the... No, it's the same song. And you know who's next? Ronson and Bruno Mars for that Uptown Funk, whatever the name of that song is. And you know who they stole it from? Prince. And Prince don't play that shit. So I'm very interested to see if he's going to go after them for that part of the scene in the time song. They make no bones about it. It's not a sample. Their R&B singers are now... Let me be clear when I say R&B singers. I mean the R&B that you hear on Hot 97, 105.1, the R&B that you hear on those / R&B hip-hop stations. Those sorts of people are now taking entire songs. They're lifting entire songs and claiming it to be something new. That's not cool. And I hope they can never perform that shit again. I hope Blurred Lines never is able to be performed again just because they were assholes. Not because the song stinks, but because they were assholes. The great legacy of Marvin Gaye. That guy, that white guy from England, gave Tom Petty the money immediately. As soon as he said, yo, this is my song, the guy was like, you're right. Here you go. But New Black Pharrell is going to sue the family of Marvin Gaye? Come on, man.
Moving forward. Black Lives Matter. Did it actually help? Oh, Diesel.
I think it did. It helped galvanize attention. But, you know, again, when you have things like this, you have to get some motion along with it. So when we say Black Lives Matter, the first thing you're going to get is detractors. And they're going to try to get you off the path of what you're trying to accomplish. So then it becomes, oh, all lives matter, you know, where people try to hijack your movement. And then you get the people like Don Lemon or the respect politics people who try to take it off course another way. And to the people's credit, those Ferguson people did not leave. They did not waver. They are still out there. So in terms of making a statement and taking a stand that, yo, this generation does care about something and is willing to put things on the line in order to be counted. Yes. But now, what do you do? Now that has to turn into action. Are you going to galvanize voters? Are you going to start producing? Because really, in the end, the only thing that matters is production. And we don't produce anything. So until we turn that energy into production, it mechanically it won't mean anything. It'll only be an ephemeral spiritual kind of thing. You have to put that energy in motion. You know, it's all cool in March, man. I dig it. It's a show of force. But you know, there is no force unless you got a dollar or a bullet. And we definitely outgunned on that. So you got to show that economically you can move things. And until we start demonstrating that kind of power, you know, i.e. like the Montgomery bus boycott, it is only when that power gets into the money system or the voting system that things can be accomplished. So the you know, no pun intended, but the verdict is still out.
until we come to a moment where we can see these things galvanized into a legitimate action. So I appreciate it. I'm glad that these people are counted. But now the hard work begins.
Well, yeah, I think it's changed. I think they've changed things. I think, like OD said, the people in Ferguson are still out there, and we applaud them for still being out there. But I think Black Lives Matter, that phrase, that galvanized a lot of folks, and it continues to galvanize a lot of folks. I think it's something that it's a rallying cry that I do think has fostered change. When you look at Ferguson, even though, you know, the damn murderer, Darren Wilson, is a free man, that movement is forcing changes in their community. And I think that's the lesson that we have to see, that you can force change within your community. Before you can force change on the overall American culture, American society, we need to do that work on the micro level. We need to do that work where we live.
Yeah.
And this is what Black Lives Matter is actually doing in Ferguson. They're changing the landscape of how they're being policed. They're changing the landscape of how revenue is, you know, collected on the backs of people being fined, of people being forced into paying fines that they can't pay. They are changing the scope of their government. There's going to be an election coming up, I think, in a week or 2 weeks, where they're looking to change the city council that basically, you know, runs Ferguson along with the mayor. This is what this is what Black Lives Matter really should show us, that the power to foster change is not something that we have to wait for a president, a senator, a governor to do. You can take control of your community if you want to. You can get people elected into office that represent your interests if you want to. You can force the hand of the federal government to make changes where changes need to be made, whether it's policing, whether it's housing, whether it's education. That's what I'm seeing. So, yeah, I think a change has been made with Black Lives Matter. Excuse me. But, again, there's always more to be done, and it just can't stop with Ferguson. You look at Cleveland, their police department right now is, you know, oh my gosh. I can't even, you know, they shot somebody else recently in Cleveland. So the DOJ is looking at that police force. Philadelphia, you know,
which goes all the way back to the move, to the move bombing.
Exactly. So now their use of force is starting to be talked about, and you know, presumably we can hope that the DOJ will start to look into their police force. You look at New York City, and Eric Garner and how he was summarily, you know, murdered, whether that's what they call it or not, but that's exactly what happened. we get to see that people who take action, people who go out and complain and make noise and disrupt the system, changes can be made. Changes can be made. New York has been really quiet since November, and I hope with the warmer weather that people remember that the changes that we need and we want have not been implemented yet. So there's work to be done, but we have to be up to the task of getting that work done.
Are we still giving Obama the side eye?
I mean, no. I'm currently not upset with Barack Obama. Yeah, I think the guy has you know, found a spine now that he's 2 years away from no longer being president, and he's laid down some
laws. Smack.
Yeah, he has. you know, I don't remember the last time a president actually, you know, a president of the United States had the words and that he had for Israel.
Yeah.
That Obama had, you know, over the last few weeks, you know, vocally being in disagreement with how they're running affairs over in the Middle East. So I'm passing on giving Obama the side eye. I think he's found a little bit of his swagger, and I think he's using it wisely so far this year.
We'll see what happens when he got to go out and he gets his pardons. Now, if he really want to do some real black shit, if he pardons all of those nonviolent weed felons, I would so salute his ass. Straight up. And not even trying to be cute, because I don't smoke weed. But if he pardoned all of those nonviolent weed felons that got like 10 years for walking the streets with nickel bags and stuff, man, that would be something else. Particularly in the states where it's legalized now.
Particularly in those states, absolutely.
Old Diesel.
Yo.
LeBron James. Kev Love. Should we care?
No, not even a little bit. Not even a little bit, man. And I won't care unless they make the finals. You know, teammates don't get along. It happens. You know, this ain't even Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant. Like, seriously, what is much to do about nothing? You know, somebody writes a article, and the same night that the article comes out, you know, Kevin Love is photobombing LeBron and wishing his mama a happy birthday after the game, after they blew out the Grizzlies, which is supposed to be a tough game. So, listen, man, when you win, all that stuff gets put to the side, man. And they winning right now. So, nah. Less than zero Fs.
Just Jay.
I mean, I would love to say yes, you know, that I think it is a big deal. I would love to see, you know, some fisticuffs happen. I think Kevin Love should feel like he's being dissed, because all those pictures they take in he's not included in the pictures. You know, they go out to dinner, they don't invite him. They go to the club with J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert. You know, he doesn't get invited. I think Kevin Love should take it personally, and I think, you know, he should come in there one day in the practice and, you know, like punch somebody in the face like Jordan used to do. I think it's totally acceptable. I think it would be great for him to flex his muscle and say, you know what, I'm not a punk. Y'all not going to treat me this way no more, and y'all going to respect me. And start taking shots away from Kyrie. Because, you know, he's a superstar, and this is what he should do. He doesn't need to be the fourth fiddle. He's like the imaginary Beatle right now, you know, on the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's LeBron, then Kyrie, then J.R. Smith, then Mozgov, then Shumpert, then Thompson, and then Kevin Love. That's foul. You know, I just want him to man up. Whether it's to LeBron, to David Blatt, whoever he got a man up to, whoever he got to step up to, I think he should step up during a practice and punch somebody in their face.
Okay. All righty then. NCAA brackets and tournaments, week 16. Do we care? ODs.
Nope. Not even a little bit, man. It is inferior ball. I didn't fill out a single bracket. You know, I mean, it's cool. I'll watch. I watch a game because it's like winner take all, one and done. So the tournament is an event in unto itself, but I don't watch college basketball for the most part. They're not that good.
Yeah, I kind of care. I want to see Kentucky run the table.
I do want to see that.
I think that would be so dope if they would go 40-0. You know, I think that
just
would
to
be
shut
so
up
fun.
Everybody and just to put the hypocrisy of the NCAA on full
the
display.
Best. Absolutely.
I hope that they run the table.
I want them to win. I watch the games. I'm going to watch their game coming up. I want to see history made. I like the thought of being bearing witness to history. I haven't seen any undefeated college basketball team ever. I haven't seen an undefeated, you know, any undefeated team, period. So, in any sport. So, I would love to see that happen, especially for a team like Kentucky that has, you know, that's basically, you know, stifled all the debate about the one and done BS because they don't play selfish basketball. They play as a team.
Yes,
everybody
they do.
Everybody has, you know, suppressed their ego for the greater good. And
each one of those guys could have went somewhere else and balled out.
Exactly. And I would tell you this. If this Kentucky team consisted of five white basketball players who played the way that they played, this would be the most beloved team in basketball history over the last 40 years. If this team was from Indiana and had a plethora of white, scrappy, intelligent players on it, they would be beloved because of the way they played. They play
scrappy.
Hard. They play unselfish. They play defense. And they play for one another. And that's a credit to Calipari, but that's also a credit to those young men. And I want them to win. Now, all of that said, I bet you they lose. But I'm here for the ride. I want to see it.
Moving forward. The food topic with 15 minutes to go. Where does the donut stand with you now? Oh, Diesel. Does it still have that special place in your heart?
as a gentleman who is trying to de-diabeticize himself, I cannot indulge in donaticity in my former previous capacity. However, donuts are just fucking fantastic, man. You can warm them up in the microwave for like 10 seconds so you can get that little heat coming from them. You can dunk them in milk. You can eat them with ice cream. They're just like the fucking ultimate, man. They're like the Black Lion from Voltron, man. They can stand alone or with the crew. When you combine them, they only get better. And there's so many different variations of the donut. Yo, you can eat a plain donut, glazed, sour cream, red velvet glazed, chocolate glazed, jelly donuts, Boston cream donuts. They're just so phenomenal. There's so many different variations of donuts that you can eat one a day for an entire year, and you still would not be out of donuts. You know? And then they make it. See, when you talk about the donut, take the donut's closest competitor, right? Closest competitors, competition. The cupcake. Well, the cupcake is so inefficient that there's only icing on half of it. And much like its cousin, the muffin, they actually sell them in two different parts. If they were that good, you wouldn't have to do that. So the donut is automatically superior to the muffin or the cupcake. Let's take cake in general. Some of those pieces don't have all the icing on it, man. And then when you start talking about ethnic stuff, some people like Dominicans like that fruit stuff in their cake. And, you know, other people like different mushy stuff in the cake. I'm not with that, you know. So the only legitimate challenger to a donut is pound cake. And you know what? It's pound cake, man. Can't put nothing on it. Well, it's not pound cake. Even if it's dripping like it's marble cake. So the cake is
if
out.
You're Puerto Rican, put ice cream on pound cake.
Yeah. But we won't hold
you. You sound unimpressed, sir.
it's two distinct flavors, man. You can put ice cream on pie, or you get an ice cream cake. But pound cake, you like the pound cake for the butter. And ice cream is kind of anti-butter, man. You know, there is cake that I would mix ice cream with, but pound cake is not it. But, you know, there's nothing. Pound for pound, the donut is the most distinctly perfect, you know, snack food. Every bite is the same. In warm weather, you can have it with hot chocolate. In cold weather, you can have ice cold milk. It is adaptable to any environment. In Antarctica and South Africa, a donut is a donut. The end.
That's Jay.
I'd have to say that the donut is a very viable option, man, because of the sheer numbers of different tastes that you can have. It's really, you know, unprecedented that the same food can come in so many different flavors.
Exactly.
So you can have it frosted, you can have it sprinkles, you could have, you know, jelly inside of it, cream inside, chocolate inside. You can basically do anything with a donut, and that's impressive to me. I will, again, I probably said this before, I've said it 1,000 times, but Krispy Kreme is... I think there's something in it that is addictive. I don't know what it is that they put in those substances, what substance it is, what chemical it is, but there's something to it that just makes it...
When you see that red light,
it's um,
that's it.
Yeah, there's nothing... When you see a Krispy Kreme, you do a double take because of the idea that, wow, if I pull over... This is going to be epic. And as far as sweet stuff goes, that you can find on the street, there's not a lot that can compare to the donut. There really isn't.
Have we tasted the donut as a sandwich? I've seen some hamburgers feature the donut slice as the bread.
Would you mind saying that? Oh, no, I have not.
Oh, Diesel, is that taboo to you?
Listen, again, I'm trying to de-fetishize myself. I cannot, in good conscience, in good faith to my family, eat a bacon cheeseburger topped and bottomed with a Krispy Kreme donut. That is the anti-life equation right now.
Wow.
Listen, I'm sure it tastes divine, but I have zero interest in dying that way.
The donut bacon cheeseburger.
Yeah. Like, if they sold it in, like, quarters where I can just have a bite, maybe. It's like fried
Oreos,
man.
Can you just have one bite, though?
Yeah, can I? No, no. Once you taste it.
Can you just have one bite, though? That's the point, you know? It's like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm only going to have one bite. What's the...
Don't let Paul and Dean take you to your doom.
I have to challenge you, old Diesel.
Yes.
While you're talking, I Googled the cheeseburger donut. There is a burger in Philadelphia that has a cheeseburger stuffed with bacon on top.
It has a what?
I repeat. Hold on, let me take off.
Yeah, please.
There is a burger restaurant in Philadelphia that has a cheeseburger stuffed donut. And I'm looking at the photo, and it appears to be bacon on the top of the donut. So it's a Boston cream oozing cheesy beef with bacon on top.
See that? That's a weapon of mass destruction.
The contents forcefully stuffed inside this baby donut are your basic patty and American cheese. The glaze itself is topped with bacon.
Wow.
That's unbelievable. Malcolm X did not die. Malcolm X did not die so that his people can be exposed to that.
Wow. That's just wow.
Wow.
Jeff J., you partake?
I probably shouldn't, but I probably would.
You got it. You got to do it. You'd have to, like, give up alcohol for, like, a month just to eat one of those. And that's, like, 100 push-ups per bite.
Moving forward, we got a parting. Oh, Diesel.
Yo. I'm here.
The parting shot, sir.
My brother.
My parting shot. You know what? My parting shot. No, I don't really have a parting shot. I'm gonna keep it 100% funky with you, man. I got a parting shot. My parting shot is to the pilot from that plane yesterday.
Oh.
The co-pilot who locked out the pilot and crashed the plane. Dude. What? That is some real Manchurian candidate shit, man.
Killed everybody.
Like,
fucked up.
Yeah, man. It don't really get no lower than that, man. Yo, you crashed a plane. Like, what's going through? Even the pilot went to go pee and couldn't get back in the cockpit. Can you imagine what he's thinking as this plane is going down?
The damn terrorists.
Unbelievable, man. Yeah, that guy gets all the fire, all the parting shots, man. Shout out to Suge Knight for falling out in court. Had the $25 million there. Awesome Fred Sanford shit, man.
oh no, Jesus, have a please, a little bit to join.
Just Jay.
My parting shot is to McDonald's. We've championed your moves of the dollar menu. I've been a supporter.
Affirm.
McDonald's has fed a lot of people out of the hood.
They waged war against the Chinaman.
They're still here, and they're still here, which says a lot. But this is taking it too far. McDonald's and whoever came up with the McDonald's clothing line.
The Big Mac fashion line.
Whoever thought of that idea to sell clothing from McDonald's, you, ma'am or sir, are one large piece of shit. Thank you.
And my parting shot, salute to the NCAA female swimmers that dominated.
Yes, black.
Both top positions. In the competition. Salute you. And O Diesel, I challenge you yet again. Pizza Hut's cheeseburger crust pizza.
I've actually had it.
Right. Oh, man.
Wait a minute.
But I got one for you.
Pizza Hut cheeseburger crust?
Listen. Little Caesars for $12. Has a pan pizza topped with pepperoni and crusted with bacon. The entire crust is an unending strip of bacon.
Wow.
Not bacon infused, not elements of pure, unadulterated, actual bacon. And you don't even have to wait for it. You can walk in and just get it. It's hot and ready, and it's $12.
Wow.
That is a McDonald's and move, B.
Oh, Diesel, I challenge you once again. Pizza Hut Kit Kat Pops. Kit Kats. Breaded.
Wow.
Is Pizza Hut the devil?
They are clearly in league with Satan.
And Just Jay, I challenge you. The Pop-Tart ice cream sandwich sold at Carl's Jr.
Oh, Jesus.
What?
Oh, I challenge you. Dude, they've got cheeseburgers with grilled cheeses on top.
Oh.
Oh, come on.
It's like an ongoing war for the souls of your fat asses. You can't make this shit up, man.
And with that, yeah.
The firing squad is out.
We are the Fat Firing Squad.
And we are better than you, I promise.
We talk food and bad hip hop.
Yes.
So until next week, you can find out on Twitter at ODiesel, at Just Jay, spelled the Haitian way, at I Popped Off. Get us at everything. Sports,
yeah,
college, food, clothes. Everything you need to get at us.
And thanks to EPMD, we are OUTTAHERE.
Peace.
And with that, we say bake.
One.